Stay a while. Stay forever.
Hello and welcome to the Geek Show for the latest episode of News Trash, a weekly episode in which we look at the past week, events in the games world, and pass comment on them, like somehow we are better than all of this. My name is Rob, and I'm joined, as ever, by the man with all the news tabs open, Prob. Hello there.
Hello there, and yes, I am always better than this. And yes, it's another week of gaming news, and we have another episode. You said episode and week quite a lot at the beginning there.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to have... I'm not going to script it, like, word for word, because it becomes a little bit less human when you do that. Some podcast outlets, YouTube outlets, kind of script things too much.
Yes.
And there's one that I particularly like called Gerald Undone, where he introduces himself in a way which is suggested by his audience every week, and I think it makes it nice. It's a nice touch.
Yeah, I like Gerald Undone. He does some really... He does some in-depth analysis of, like...
Yeah, let's not get in... We're going to talk about other YouTube channels for a while, intro. Because we promote other channels, but other channels don't promote us. So, you know, until it's a fair playing game, we're not going to talk about any other channels. No, sorry. Never.
We're not going to promote anything at all. Not even PlayStation or Microsoft.
No,
or anyone by
they're all awful. No. I joke. But yeah, just know advertising of YouTube channels is kind of weird, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so let's just dive straight in then.
Seeing as what I can't kill your intro opportunity, yeah.
Yeah, you kind of killed my mojo there. I was all set for, like, you know, some interesting repartee.
What is this, a dinner party? Am I a cheese board? Do you need to wow me with wine?
Let's see.
No, I don't like wine. I'm too working class for wine, Rob. None of that nonsense. Anyway,
I'm gonna give you some class and say it's a can of John Smith's rather than a can of Tennant Super.
If whatever you want, Rob. Whatever you want. Whatever you want to project onto me, that's fine. So
anyway, yes.
News.
Speaking of projections. You know how a lot of people have been kind of wanting to know sales figures for console releases and stuff like that? Well, Sony have been having a very, very good year in terms of sales. The sales of the PlayStation 5 have hit 7.8 million.
There's many weird things to take from this. For one, it's outdone the PlayStation 4 by a couple of hundred thousand.
Yeah.
So if this machine had the same sort of freedom of production like the PlayStation 4 did when that was released.
Yeah.
What would that number actually be? The only thing that's kept that number down is the fact that these machines are so hard to get.
Yeah. I will be honest, I think because of the success of the PlayStation 4, if we hadn't been in the middle of a pandemic, PlayStation 5 would have literally wiped the floor with everyone.
It would have been closer to about 20 million, I'd have said.
Yeah.
If it was actually like quite free in its production cycle.
Yeah, I reckon it would have been a runaway success. I think that what's held it back is exactly as you said, they're hard to get hold of.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting figure to look at, an interesting perspective to look at this from the angle that we have right now, coming out of this pandemic, and with a lot of people being stuck at home, the rise of video games in a way that nobody expected in 2020. Just
yeah,
so many people
I don't think
needing stuff to do at home and buying consoles because they didn't have anything to do at home.
I think that's where Nintendo have really wiped the floor of everybody, really.
Yeah.
The fact that a game like Animal Crossing New Horizons sold, what, about 20 million?
Mm.
And a console which doesn't have that many, doesn't have a great big install base. Within the space of a year,
that is
where all the people who thought, I'm going to have a go at games, there's nothing else to do, let's try this. That's where that audience... I still think at this phase, with PlayStation 5, we are still talking about the hardcore who are after it. The more casual don't come until a little bit later on.
Yeah,
I think that's where Nintendo have really, really done well. Been quite
lucky.
I wouldn't call them shrewd, because nobody could market themselves or plan a strategy with a pandemic in mind. Nobody's that good. Nobody.
Yeah. The interesting thing about Animal Crossing doing so well is that it was a clear shot across the bows of the big-budget AAA games.
Well, I don't want to word it like
with,
that.
You know, with really, really detailed graphics and stuff like that. It was a shot across their bows because it was basically saying that, well, let's put it this way. The Switch does not have the graphical resolution of the PlayStation 5.
It doesn't have the graphics, or the PlayStation 4. It doesn't have the frame rate, it doesn't have the resolution, it doesn't have anything really. I mean, it's getting to the point now where many games struggle to run on it.
Yeah, and yet it is still probably the most popular console.
No, it's still PlayStation 4, but of the ones which are active...
No, I mean the ones that are active now.
The one that are active.
Of the ones that are active now.
A decent shelf life ahead of them, yeah. Switch is the most popular.
And so doesn't that then suggest that gamers by their nature, or people who want to play games by their nature, aren't too fussed about, you know, really, really highly detailed graphics and stuff like
well,
that?
Well, I'm going to say something
here. What they want is
here.
Something that's accessible to them.
What I'm going to say here is something you probably won't like.
Okay.
You're just using the sales figures here to confirm your bias.
I don't think I am.
What I would take from this, essentially, is the fact that basically the industry is suggesting that what everybody wants is AAA games, but what people want is something a little more casual and accessible. So there's two very... It's a classic case of the industry saying, people want this, but the industry says, do we? Since when? We actually want this. Because people make the decisions with the wallets.
You're saying what I'm just said.
But yours is a lot more critical. Mine is a bit more realist than critical.
Well, I wouldn't say that mine was critical. I mean, I'm not ignoring the numbers. And as I already said, I agree with your assessment. The pandemic played a big part. Otherwise, PlayStation 5 would have been a runaway success.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think what's happened is a lot of people have reassessed a lot of things. And the cost of games on the PlayStation 5 is prohibitive to a lot of people. So anyway, the interesting thing is that Sony are planning to compete with Microsoft in a very aggressive way. Very, very aggressive way. Because they will be aggressively, and they actually use this term themselves, they will be aggressively investing in first-party studios and continue to partner with external developers to produce high-quality games for the PlayStation 5.
Yeah, it's going to be a position in the marketplace. I think the quote was $184 million a year extra invested into the making of first-party and second-party exclusive games for the PlayStation platforms, which is a big investment on top of what they already have. But yeah, I think it's got to the point now where we're at the basically the 360 versus PS3 days where both were legitimate and good, solid options with a good, solid library of games.
Yeah,
and that is good. I think, and it comes down to not what's the best, not what's the most powerful, it's what's right. What's right for a certain person.
Yeah, there are a lot of factors that can play into what's right for you. I think you've experienced it yourself.
Mm.
You know, we're not going to say one is better than the other.
Because that's just not true.
No, it's not.
One is different than the other. That's as far as we're going to go on to.
Yeah, and like I said, it all depends on your gaming experience, what you've been used to, and that will probably continue for a while.
But back to the car story.
Yeah.
Sony are going to be investing $184 million per annum in first and second party development. So what that means, whether it's going to be new studios that they're going to be developing, which you'd hope so, considering the recent closure of Studio Japan, or whether it's new teams or new games or new wings to what they're going to do. Investing in your own infrastructure like that, despite being very, very, very successful, is a good business move, because it shows that Sony don't think we've had all the success. What people have accused them of, we've had all the success, so why bother? It's, we've had all the success, so how can we grow upon that? How can we develop upon that? Hmm. Which is a positive and proactive business move, which is very contrary to the Jason Schreier story, which said, they're more lacking in risks, more conservative, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that, there's a lot of stuff that we don't know that goes on behind the scenes at Sony, and... all we've got are the stuff that actually gets released or leaked.
Yeah, there's too much leaking these days. It's just confusing.
Yeah. An interesting thing that's come from Microsoft, a couple of interesting things, actually. Their revenue has shot up by 50% for the Xbox Series X and S, which are going to be... They will be constrained by supply for the ongoing future at the moment, or for the near future at the moment.
Yeah.
And that's been a big, you know, just like the Sony PlayStation 5, that's been a big problem for Microsoft. And
I've always felt that Xbox are a bit more accessible, though. But, you know, that's just perspective.
They are to a degree. I mean, they have gone around buying, like, studios like, you know.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, there's more Xboxes to buy. It seems that it's easier to buy one than it is a PlayStation. That's all I was saying.
You know, that actually plays into this figure. The reason I mentioned ZeniMax Bethesda is because the revenue figures for ZeniMax Bethesda are now being included in Microsoft's revenue as well, which actually skews the figures a little bit.
It's a boot up the butt for them, yeah, but it's business ease, isn't it, sir?
Yeah, it's business ease. But that's not the important thing to look at with regards to this. I think the important thing to look at with regards to this is that Microsoft are actually lowering its share for Microsoft Store PC game sales from 30% down to 12%. Now, I have an idea about why this is happening, right? Now, Microsoft have basically said that game developers are at the heart of bringing great games to our players, and we want them to find success on our platforms. That was Matt Booty who said that.
He's like the head of PR, isn't he, and marketing? Yeah. So that's just a PR statement. It's a press release. Yeah. It's meaningless.
Yeah. Yeah. He goes on to say, a clear, no-strings-attached revenue share means developers can bring more games to more players and find greater commercial success from doing so. Which is, you know, again, PR statements, positive PR statements, but still, it's PR. The interesting thing about this is that it's coming on the back of a lot of antitrust lawsuits for not Microsoft themselves, but for, Wolfire Games, for example, have filed an antitrust lawsuit against Valve. And Wolfire Games, I'm not familiar with any of the games that they've made, but they are filing an antitrust lawsuit against Valve, denouncing the anti-competitive practices from Steam's parent company, which charges it's a high cut from nearly every sale that passes through its store, 30%, which is exactly the same as what Apple charge. Apple are basically facing a European antitrust lawsuit.
I'm not going to bring that story into it, but
I'm just using it as a reference point. Okay?
Yeah, because it gets incredibly complex, isn't it? So.
Spotify have basically got a victory over Apple in the European courts. Epic are basically, you know, Apple are basically producing all sorts of information about Epic. It's all a big mess, but...
It's handbags.
It's handbags at dawn. What I'm saying is that Microsoft could have continued charging 12% and then been dragged into this as well. And I think this is a preemptive move on behalf of Microsoft, saying, hey, we don't want to step into that quagmire. We're going to just stick over here. We'll lower it to 12% because that's what everyone seems to be happy with at the moment. And then, you know, we'll just walk away, back away slowly. And I think that's what this move is all about.
Yeah.
The PR spin is all about games developers, but I think it's just Microsoft, big corporation, going, lots of people want to file antitrust lawsuits at the moment.
I don't know whether it's that. I mean, you can take that stance on it, but what I think there's a side effect of it is, it's pushing the industry, the PC industry, away from Steam as sort of the default. Because looking from the outside in, I've never liked Steam because it seems to take about as hands-off an approach to the PC community as is humanly possible. They don't care. Oh. They just get money. That's all they care about. They're rolling in the cash and getting the income. And as far as, look at the green light stuff. They don't care about the green light. The green light's just any old crap can go on there just as long as they give us money. And if something comes along that's a genuine alternative, which has got a genuinely lower profit share system than Steam, I think maybe that's good for the PC industry. Because again, outsider looking in, I don't think Steam are anywhere near worthy of being like the default for an entire platform of gamers.
What you just said there is exactly what people wanted from the Epic Game Store. That was exactly what a lot of developers wanted from the Epic Game Store. Didn't turn out that way.
Just a little addendum to what I said. I imagine that's why so many indie games are going to the Switch.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. I mean, it used to be that Sony was a big welcoming place for indie games, for indie devs, especially during the heyday of the PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation 4.
I'd say early PlayStation 4, but yeah, tomatoes, tomatoes.
Yeah, you know, that's what I mean by heyday, you know, when PlayStation 4 appeared. Everyone was like, yay, PlayStation 4!
No, indie,
you know,
indie games, devs, it was very much an indie game. But go on,
You know, aside from the likes of, say, GOG.com, where you can buy old games quite cheap, you know, I can buy Arcana of Steamworks and Magic Obscura for like £1.69, and I love that game.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, it's an old game. It's like 20-odd years old.
But that's fine. Those games need to be kept. I mean, if the recent months have been invalidated anything, it's the idea of games preservation, so there's nothing wrong with it being 20 years
old. And the thing is, I don't mind paying £1.50, £1.70, or even £2 for a 20-year-old game. I don't mind paying that if it's a game I want to play, right? Which suggests a lot of things, but we won't go into that. That's a different episode for a different series. But with Microsoft doing this, they are opening themselves up to be a different option to Steam. Maybe a more curated option, because the amount of crap that you get on Steam is just ridiculous.
It's impossible to find anything. Even the top sellers, it's mostly DLC and like microtransactions and stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, the alternatives to Steam, stuff like itch.io, where so much shovelware.
It's impossible to use itch.io as well. It's the opposite of user-friendly.
Yeah. I mean, Amazon might be an interesting one if Amazon decided to stop development and just go straight into publishing.
Which they should, because honestly, they have the infrastructure and they have the sense of scale.
Yeah. Mm. And, you know, if they could basically do a Prime Games that was exactly like their Prime Video,
I
think
they'd
do wonders. Yeah. I think they would do wonders if they could do it like that.
But essentially, core of the story for me is anything which shakes the stranglehold that Steam have, because I think, honestly, they don't care. They're just in it for the profit, and that's it.
I mean, honestly, not
all businesses are in it for the profit, but you know what I mean.
I think the idea of Steam when it was first developed is a good idea, but I don't think it's fit for purpose anymore.
You know, I mean, all businesses are in it for profit, obviously, but you know what I mean.
Yes,
you know
yes. Moving on, it's a strange week in the gaming news. FIFA has been in the news again, EA have been in the news again because of loot boxes.
It's never good news, FIFA, is it?
It's never good news, but according to a lot of people will probably be familiar with this story by now, but according to leaked documents that were obtained by CBC, it's not looking good for Electronic Arts. According to this document, it's a 54-page document, which was provided to the CBC news outlet by a gaming insider. On one page of this document, there was a section of it that said five things you need to know, and the third point emphasizes that players will be incentivized to convert throughout the summer, while the fourth point states that FIFA Ultimate Team is the cornerstone and we are doing everything we can to drive players there. In another section of this document, titled Turning Up the Heat, the company has allegedly said all roads lead to FIFA Ultimate Team and lays out a strategy to drive excitement and funnel players towards FIFA Ultimate Team from other modes.
Yeah, you're not going to get career mode players to do that.
See, the thing is, a lot of people are looking at this, and even CBC have basically said that for years, EA have basically been able to act with a layer of plausible deniability, and this internal document, they're saying, this is our goal, we want people driven to this card pack mode, and we don't care how we do it.
Here's a solution. Got my business hat on. Make FIFA Ultimate Team free to play.
Yeah.
Make FIFA 2022, in this case, a proper title.
Yeah.
So you can have your cake and eat it.
It's exactly what we said before, right? If you want to do Ultimate Team, then basically, you know, if you want to do Ultimate Team, take that away from the FIFA game, but make the FIFA game a subscription model. So you basically just renew your subscription every year. You don't have to buy a new game.
Yeah, something like that. Like some sort of iterative thing.
Or you make the whole game free to play and have Ultimate Team as, you know, just like mobile games do it.
Yeah, because that's what it is. It's basically the mobile games model, but the fact that this is in a document which is outlining FIFA's strategy is no surprise, because honestly, as a career mode player, and looking at the career mode community on YouTube, you realise just how angry a lot of them are, because they're effectively releasing a game which isn't different year on year.
Yeah.
And all of the focus, all of the advert, is FIFA Ultimate Team. All of the promotion is on FIFA Ultimate Team. All of the competitions, FIFA Ultimate Team. They are shoving FIFA Ultimate Team down people's throats, which explains everything. And the sad fact on this, just like one last note, the sad fact on this is, governments around the world are basically saying, no, you can't do this anymore. This is gambling. Yep. This is illegal. Which puts FIFA in a really weird position. They're pushing this, even though, nation by nation, it's actually becoming illegal.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
See, we have a follow-up to that particular story direct from EA. Electronic Arts made some comments in response to this alleged leak, right? And I'm using the words alleged because, you know, until we have, you know, a lot of people take things as read, but we have to use the word alleged because, you know, legal things.
Mm-hmm.
EA have responded on their website, in fact, right? And this is direct from, so you can take this as straight from the horse's mouth.
You mean straight from the PR department of the horse's mouth?
Yeah. And the title of this is Comments on Recent FIFA Ultimate Team Media Reporting. We make games to be fun and enjoyable for large global audiences. FIFA is one of the largest games in the world with an incredibly vibrant, engaged community. FIFA Ultimate Team has been part of our FIFA games for more than a decade. We'll move to what they say the facts are, right? These are bullet points.
All right, let's see how many of these are actual facts and not lies.
Right, that's exactly what I was hoping you'd say.
Yeah.
So I will read these out, Rob, and we're going to play a little game. You define fact from fiction. Let's play. Right. We always look for opportunities to introduce more players to mods in our games.
Lie.
Our FIFA players are expecting fresh content that makes the service exciting, so that's a constant focus for us.
Well, the players are expecting stuff new, but the game, nah, why bother? Let's just do the same thing. So, lie.
We do not push people to spend in our games. I'm amazed I got this. I said that with a straight face.
That's a Boris Johnson level lie, that.
Where we provide that choice, we are very careful not to promote spending over earning in the game. And the majority of FIFA players never spend money on in-game items.
Lie. Is this one of these things where they've got a PR agency who doesn't even know what FIFA is and like making this statement? Because that's the only way.
I'll say there's a little bit of truth in that. The majority of FIFA players don't spend money on in-game items. I think it's something like 5% of FIFA players total.
It's a very small minority who spend a lot.
Yeah. Something like 5% spend like 90% of the money on Ultimate Team.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Anyway, summer is a very active time in our FUT community, and we ensure more of our new content and community events in the game are centered there. The new content that we introduce throughout the year includes extensive non-monetized rewards. Decisions to spend are always entirely optional.
Pushed on you so hard, so lie.
Nothing in the leaked document contradicts this in any way. It shows how we are supporting engagement in our game during the summer period, not spending.
Yeah, you see, the game is an entire game. It's not FIFA Ultimate Team 20. It's not FIFA Ultimate Team 21. Ultimate Team is just a part of the game. It's not the whole game. It's like you're getting, I don't know, what's another game? I can't even think of another game now. Dirt. I was playing Dirt yesterday. It's yeah. Like you're playing all these races on Dirt and they don't say a thing, but there's just one race. Do you want to play this mod after every race you've had? You make money on it. You can spend money on it and get the best cars. Oh, no, that's a bad example. Let's just scratch that completely. Scratch that. It's like The Crew. The Crew 2. I really like The Crew 2. Until I realised you can't actually get any cars until you've got to pay for them all. So you can play the game, sorta, but you have to spend money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, The Crew 2 was horrible for that.
Like, spend money. Why aren't you spending money? Here's a car. Spend money. Spend money. That's what FIFA on my team is.
Yeah. Two more of these facts from Electronic Arts. We take very seriously our responsibility to provide players a safe and fun experience.
Safe, no, because if it was safe, it'd provide an opportunity to put limitations on your spending.
Which
they don't
is interesting. It's interesting you say that. It's very interesting you've said that, right? Because that goes straight into the last fact. And this is a fact that I had to read through this a couple of times before I just had to hold myself.
Yeah.
We don't encourage young players to spend in our games, and we strongly recommend use of family controls to manage the content that children are allowed to access, their ability to spend in games, and how much time they can play.
And they're basically gaslighting people there.
Basically. Continuing on, our EA platform for PC games also includes dedicated child and teen accounts so that all of our players and their parents can make informed choices about how they play.
Oh,
and tools like FIFA Playtime help players take control of how they play, including the ability to set limits to manage their engagement and purchasing.
That's nasty. Between the lines there, it's basically the same. If your kid spends hundreds, maybe thousands of pounds on FIFA Ultimate Team, it's your fault for not setting the game up properly, or your fault for not watching them.
Yeah. Or your fault for not using PC to play FIFA and using the console, because apparently, you know, that middle section there, that beautiful middle section that they put in there, our EA platform for PC games also includes dedicated child and teen accounts.
Yeah, that's just incredibly mean-spirited. It's reasons like this. It's even in a, we didn't do anything wrong. They're basically admitting everything they're doing wrong. It's reasons for like this why people think EA one of the worst video game corporations on the planet.
Yeah. And they don't help themselves when they make these statements that where their PR guy has basically thought, you know, I've done a really good job.
Yeah.
I used to work in PR and marketing. If I'd done a job this bad, I would have lost my job. I would have been straight out the door, you know, with the cardboard box with all my stuff off my desk.
Yeah, you know, the PR department for EA, you know that meme where there's a dog with a bowler hat sat in a flat that's on fire, just everything is fine?
Yes.
It's that constantly.
Oh, there's a little bit at the end of this which I think is it's kind of beautiful, right? We also firmly disagree that FIFA or any of our games involve gambling. It gets better. Regulators in multiple countries around the world have stated publicly that where there is no cash out method, loot boxes do not constitute gambling.
So, right, let me read between the lines here. The governments who make the law, right, in the country that they're operating in, the companies and organisations which make the law...
are apparently somehow wrong.
They're all wrong and FIFA is right.
Yes, apparently.
The arrogance. Oh, wow. This is next level arrogance.
A charity called Gamble Aware, who commissioned research into loot boxes... and they did extensive research into loot boxes and found the connection between loot boxes and gambling addiction, found a definitive connection. Okay, let's argue against science.
And science, not necessarily just science, it's sociological studies by industry professionals and human behaviourologists.
Exactly.
They're all wrong, and FIFA is right because FIFA makes money and money is right. This is just capitalism at its nastiest worst, this.
Yeah.
It's really ugly company, aren't they, for you?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I've read this article a few times, and it makes my fists itch. I'll be honest. I find some bits hilarious just because of how bad they are.
Tone deaf.
But there's other bits, how tone deaf and just how, you know, just how short-sighted they are as well. But there's other bits where I look at it and I'm like, I really want to hit someone from EA right now.
They just make too much money from this and they're protecting themselves. They're basically gone into self-protection mode and it's ignorant of every circumstance around the fact outside of their company. It's ignorant of reality. It's ignorant of people's circumstances. All they care about is the fact that they make billions of pounds every year in this game. That's all they care about. That is literally their only concern.
Yeah. I mean, this last paragraph, we take great care to ensure that our games are played as designated, including by taking action against those who violate the rules against trading outside the game. And they go on to say, recently a US federal court judge dismissed a related case, noting that the lack of any real-world transferable value to items takes them outside of the gambling laws.
Not true.
Yeah. Their final paragraph, their parting shot, let's say, is, we hope to see these facts more accurately represented in the future. In the meantime, we continue to work every day to ensure that our FIFA Ultimate Team players, not our FIFA players, but our FIFA Ultimate Team players, have the best possible experience playing the game they love.
You know what? This is so ugly. I think I'm done with FIFA. It's really nasty.
Yeah. Oof. It's horrible, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's really, really... EA has reared its hideously ugly head again.
Yeah. Oof. But I'm going to give you a palate cleanser now. I'm going to give you a nice palate.
It needs to be a bloody good one.
Oh, this is gold. This is solid gold. Because you know, we mentioned Animal Crossing.
We did.
Yeah. There's a reason why I was making with Animal Crossing, and it's because of this story. Right, according to Accenture, which is a, they do like a lot of market research and stuff like that. They're a consulting firm that have just released excerpts from a survey of 4,000 people from China, Japan, the US and the UK who play games at least 4 hours a week.
Yes.
And they were asked various questions during that bit of market research. And one of the things that they've extrapolated from this market research is that 66% of this sample of 4,000, right? But they use the sample to extrapolate into a larger kind of population mass.
Yeah.
So from this 4,000, 66% of them were more likely to play socially responsible games or games that championed marginalized communities.
That's quite nice, that. It's quite nice because it shows that the internet face of the video game community isn't the real face.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why I was saying that, you know, there is, you know, why I was saying that Animal Crossing, there's a reason why people are gravitating towards games like Animal Crossing. It's because it's not just an accessible game. It's something that, you know, I mean, farming games, there's been a long-standing fascination with farming games. You know this as well as I do.
Well, it's like Spring Watch and those shows are really popular because people in the cities don't have that. They need something that's just a different speed of life.
Yeah. But I mean, ever since with video games, since the advent of games like Harvest Moon and stuff like that, and then with Facebook, Farmville on Facebook just blew up. That game basically made Zynga Games the company that they eventually became.
Yeah.
You know? And then you have Farming Simulator now, the really advanced farming game where you can actually pretend to be a farmer. The only thing that you're not doing is chewing on bits of straw or anything like that. But all of these games, I wouldn't say they're socially responsible games, but there are games that are more focused on environmentalism, games that are championing, you know, community, you know, really, really small tribal communities or really marginalized communities that don't really get the attention that mainstream games will give them.
There's games without conflict as well.
Yeah.
And a world which is full of conflict, communities which are full of conflict, the internet is arguing with each other, there's political left disagrees with political right, there's all sorts of anti-vaxxers and people who are... It's just there's so many people that were so angry in the world. And
don't forget the flat earthers. Well, don't forget that we were
a They're harmless. The dim as they can be, but they're harmless. But essentially, Animal Crossing represents a world without conflict.
Yes.
And that is just so lovely because not everything has to be this or that. It can just be. I mean, me and Rob watch this thing on YouTube, the wholesome YouTube. It's a guy who's got a Japanese guy who's got two otters, and it's just the most wholesome thing, and it's so refreshing and calming.
Hannah and Kotaro. Hannah basically, there's a fantastic video. It's absolutely delightful of the two of them eating salmon. And Hannah is basically, she's literally just gorging herself. And Kotaro has the weirdest eating habits when he's eating salmon.
Yeah.
He shoves a giant bit in his mouth, then just leans back with no hands holding it and just chews.
My point is, I think the world's ready for more wholesome stuff, just completely yes. away
Absolutely.
From conflict and Animal Absolutely. Crossing's monstrous success, I think, validates that.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing as well, though, I think, because there was that, what was the name of the game? The one that you played that the developers described as Swamp Opera?
Oh, Mutazone.
Mutazone, and, you know, I would love to see more games where, you know, the more kind of socially responsible games that were championing things like environmentalism or, you know, and aspects like that.
I think, honestly, yeah. Animal Crossing is the thing which made it viable for other companies to do this sort of thing.
Yeah, and there's a market for it. We know there's a market
Clearly.
For it.
Clearly. It's huge. You know?
So, yeah.
Even before Animal Crossing, the Farming Simulator, they were surprisingly big. So, yeah.
Yep.
There's definitely a market for it.
Yep. So anyway, a couple of quick bits before we go on to our tried and tested trailer trash.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of tease.
Shoot, with the quick blasts.
Right. Konami has said that they are in deep development with key projects, but they won't be attending E3, there was a potential for them to attend.
It's kind of sad that they've got nothing to announce this year, but I don't think they're going to be making anything. I think they're basically lacing out the titles, and I think for a company who was burnt so badly by Kojima Gate, I think that's probably the best strategy for them.
Yeah.
Assuming. That's a big assumption there, but assuming.
Yeah. And this is a really big one for me because I am a massive fan of the original games. Jason Schreier, however you say his
name. You really need to learn how to say that guy's name.
Is it Schreier or Schreier?
Schreier.
He confirmed on the Minmax podcast that Aspyr Media, the company that did like Star Wars Racer and Civilization VI and all sorts of other games, published a lot of games, and they are working on a remake of Knights of the Old Republic. Or the Old Republic, the MMO, but the actual Knights of the Old Republic.
I mean, that's fine. I have no concept of reference for that, so that's good for you, but for me,
All I will say is that Knights of the Old Republic remains, right, Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2 remains some of the best Star Wars games ever made.
Okay.
And that's because BioWare, who made the original two games, they were basically so focused on telling a story, and I'm hoping that, you know, Aspyr Media continue and maintain that, you know, if the remakes, they don't really change a lot of things, just update the graphics and stuff. So that's all good.
Fingers crossed.
Yes, fingers crossed. Anyway, time for some trailer trash, and we found something weird.
Well, you did.
Yeah, the Japanese love doing weird things with trailers for games that are coming out, and Resident Evil 8, The Village, they've done it with that as well.
Yeah, essentially, you'll be seeing it now, but as you can see, as I'm describing for the podcast version, it's basically puppets with the lady Dimitrescu, the big 7-foot vampire lady, as puppets, you know, acting things out. Don't know what they're doing or what they're saying, because obviously it's in Japanese, but they've got, like, tinsel blood and...
It's very much a kid's thing, isn't it?
Yeah, when you look at it, sort of, but the front acts at each other's heads and, like, tinsel comes out the head, signifying, like, geysering blood.
Have you seen any of the cartoons that kids watch these days?
No.
Some of them are ridiculously... don't forget, we grew up with stuff like Tom and Jerry and that. And
yes,
that,
I know, but they didn't have blood or surrogate blood.
Yeah, they didn't have surrogate blood, but if they did, it would probably be tinsel.
Maybe. But it's wonderful. I mean, I was interested in Resident Evil 8. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think they've done a great means of selling it personally. It's a bit too the same as everybody else, and when everybody promotes things the same way, it just doesn't mean anything to me. But when you get a trailer like this, a trailer which is just puppets doing violence to each other. It's like, yeah,
and singing happy songs as well.
Yeah, it stands out from the crowd of just, here is a trailer, epic, epic, epic. It's not, yep. We're not doing that. Here is some puppets singing and throwing axes at each other.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I saw it, I thought, Rob's going to love this.
It's wonderful. It's proper. Like, I really love when marketing companies are super creative and they just do something that's totally out of the park. This is beautiful in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I want more video game trailers to be like this. Not made with puppets or anything like that. Just basically to be as creative as this is.
Out of the box thinking, to use that marketing term.
Out of the box thinking, yeah.
There's too much in the box thinking. This is beautiful.
And the thing is, it's a big departure from how Capcom have been marketing the game by making life-size towels of Lady Dimitrescu and life-size standees of Lady Dimitrescu.
No.
Yeah, I know that the standee, okay, fine, fair enough, but the towel,
You're tailoring and marketing yourself to internet creeps there, Capcom. You're on a rocky road. And not the delicious cake kind of rocky road.
Yeah.
Careful, man.
Yes. Stick to the puppets. Forget about the towels.
Yeah, I think they're going to sell puppets of all the characters from that ad. Like, yes. Funko Pops. I hate Funko Pops because they're so cynical. But if I was going to get puppets of stuff, count me in.
Yeah. And on that note, we're at the end of the show.
Indeed. Thank you for listening. Check out our Patreon. The links are in the description, as well as a Spotify link for the podcast if you want to listen to it that way when you're out and about, because you can do that now. Fancy that, out and about. But until next time, this has been News Trash, and thank you very, very much for listening and sticking with us to the end.
Bye.